if you guys would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be picking it up in verse 9 and going down to verse 15. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed on how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed with fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Just a brief look at last week to kind of get us ramped up on what Paul is trying to communicate to the church at Corinth, but also to us here today. Remember, Paul confronts their condition. The Corinthians were Christians. We found that out in verse 1. He called them brethren, but they had a problem, and their problem was carnality. And remember what it means to be carnal. In the Greek, it's sarkinos, which means to be fleshly. One who could and should do differently, but chooses not to. A carnal person knows the things of God, but is still characterized by the flesh. Remember, Paul said, you guys are babes in Christ. He says, once again, he points to the fact that they're saved, but you're not growing. You're not growing up. You're just staying right there where you got saved, and you understand that Jesus loves you, but you've not progressed. You've not moved on. They had too much of the world in them to really enjoy the Lord, and yet too much of the Lord in them to really enjoy the world. They were in just such a sad state. The number two thing that we kind of looked at is there's nothing wrong with milk. Milk's not the problem. Matter of fact, milk is a very good thing. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But here's the thing. We can't stay on milk forever. We need more than milk to grow up. We need the meat of the Word. And that's where he's trying to move and progress these guys to get to. We need solid food. Hebrews 5:12, verse 14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God. You come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. But not only do we need solid food, we need to be doing something with it. We need discipleship. So we don't need just another deep Bible study. We need the Bible study to have such an impact on our hearts that it motivates itself down within our feet and we go forward. Remember, we asked ourselves the question for the past couple of weeks, if we've been traveling third class. As a Christian, if we're living in carnality and we're hanging out in carnality, that's what we're doing. We're just kind of traveling third class when the Lord has given us a first class ticket to travel up front. And remember, as a Christian, traveling up front is denying oneself, picking up a cross, and following after Jesus. It's radically different than what the world describes as traveling first class. Paul pointed to the evidence of the carnality. Remember, he says, for where there's envy, strife, divisions among you, are you still not carnal and behaving like mere men? Envy always wants something else, which leads to strife, always finding something wrong, which leads to division, breaking away and splitting up and doing our own thing. And that's what was taking place at this church in Corinth. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. There were divisions. There's divisions there, and Paul's trying to bring them back together. Second thing, he says, you're just behaving like mere men. And let that just kind of settle on our hearts just for a moment. You're not acting like you've been redeemed. You're not acting like you've been saved. You're not acting like a boatload of grace has been dumped on your life. You're just behaving like mere men who doesn't know any better. But not only that, he says, you're attaching yourself to men. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. He's trying to open their eyes. He's trying to point their heart back to, remember, the whole theme here is Christ crucified. One last thing we looked at, which is really giving glory to God. And, you know, I like what Stephen had no idea that we were going to go on this, but That's what the Lord laid on His heart for us to be singing about God's glory. Think of the word glory for a moment. Think about that for a moment. What kind of... If I watch a movie, I like to watch movies that inspire. Okay? I like to watch true movies that inspire. People moving way beyond their capacity and doing more. I like sports movies. I'm not a big sports fanatic. You're not going to hear me go off on sports. But I enjoy the stories behind the sports. What is it about that? I think a lot of times in my own carnality, it's about that person's glory rising above. One of my favorite all-time movies is Rocky. Okay? You can't go wrong with Rocky, right? I mean, Rocky... What happens with Rocky? He's totally, you know, bummed out, mixed, like, Rock, come on. And then what, finally Rock, he gets it, and he really starts training for the first time, and then the music comes in, and then you know the end of it, it's Rocky's glory. Even, you know, even when he's fighting the Russian, you know, all the Russians are like, I was in high school when this came out. Okay, Russia and America, it was a big deal at that point in time. It's a very big deal. Okay? You're laughing. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Here's the thing. Our culture's consumed with our own glory. That's the thing. No one wants to be number two. Matter of fact, no one wants to be number three. Are people really jazzed up in the Olympics when they win a bronze? Are you really jazzed up about that person that won the bronze medal? The same things happens within the body of Christ, I believe, in North America especially, just because of our culture. We want to give glory to God, but a lot of times it's about the extension of our own kingdom instead of about the extension of God's kingdom. Paul knew how to give glory to God, and his take on the ministry is just phenomenal. He says, "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But who ministers through whom you believed?" In other words, he said, "Who are we anyway? We're just simple messengers that gave you the message and you believed through us. That's who we are." And he says, "Hey, you know who I am? I'm just a guy that just busted up some ground. I'm just a sod buster. That's all I am, is a planner. Okay, that's it. And Apollos, you're so blown away by this guy. He's just the guy with the water hose. That's all he did. He turned on the faucet. That's it. That's all he is. He had such a wonderful take on the ministry. It was not about himself. I'm just a plowhand. I'm a sod buster. Apollos is a sprinkler man, the water hose guy. God is the one who makes things grow." He's like, stop focusing on man. And isn't that the very thing that we do? People get their favorite little teacher or their favorite little worship leader, and they make their, it seems like their whole relationship about this thing. That was never Paul. Some folks get ticked because they want to plow, and some folks get ticked because they want to water. But those who do not get ticked are those who simply do what the Lord's asked them to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Real fruitfulness in ministry is when we're content in what we've been called to do. And newsflash, that is really a sign of maturity. Whatever it is God's called us to do, we're just doing it because the Lord's asked us to do it. Last thing that we looked at, and it's very important to remember, the planter is not more important than the person who waters. Planters and waterers are both necessary, and they both need each other, and they're both working towards the same goal. There's no all-stars in the body of Christ. It's all about Jesus. All we need to remember is we receive a reward at the end of our labor. And we're going to talk about that today. Okay, that's where we're really going to be today. The Lord, in the end, is the one who's going to evaluate the work. Man, I am 42 years old, headed to 43 at a rapid pace. When you get older, time goes faster. Do you remember when you were in, like, elementary and the school year lasted forever, and you couldn't wait till what? Summer, right? You can remember the first day of summer. You slept in, you hang out, or, you know, maybe you had a job or something like, I don't know. But you remember it seemed like summer lasted forever? And then you start school again. You remember when it seemed like you would never, ever, ever get to high school? You remember that? You remember you never get your driver's license? You never get to that first prom or that first thing, or you never get to college, and now you're in college, you're thinking, I'm never going to get to what? I'm never going to get to that job. That may be a possibility. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. I'm really kidding. You guys are going to a good school where, you know what, they're going to hire you because of where you went to school, and that's a good thing. Now, see, I'm at a place now, I'm 42 years old. Summer's really not that big of a deal. I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Do you realize this? And this is not being negative, this is reality. If I live to be 82 years old, you realize how short of a span I have? You know, you've often heard that there's the spring of life, there's the summer of life, there's the fall of life, there's the winter of life. Well, I'm really kind of in the fall now. Okay? Here's the point. There's a destination for me. I'm going to stand before the King of Kings, and I'm going to be evaluated for what I've done for Him. And that's where we're headed this morning. I want that to really settle on our hearts. I pray that this is not just some theology or some little thing, that it would really settle on our hearts. If we're saved today, we've been called into the ministry, whether we plan or whether we water or whatever, in the end, it will be evaluated by God and we'll be given rewards. E.M. Bounds said this once, "Earth is but a pilgrim's stay, a pilgrim's journey, a pilgrim's tent. Heaven is a city permanent, God planned, God built, whose foundations are stable as God's throne." Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16 said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off and were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind the country which they have come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." We're just sojourners. We're just passing through this thing, right? Paul's trying to get these guys focused on, you're so blown away. You want to be just, you want your intellectual, you want to be tickled intellectually. I want you to get this, and I want you to understand some things. Stop focusing on man. Focus on Christ, because there's going to be a final destination one day. Not everything that glitters is of the Lord. I want you to get this. We've been so blessed. Look at what he says. After he just kind of works his way through the carnality, after he works his way through watering and working and rewards, this is what he says. "I want you to understand how blessed you are." Verse 9. "For we're God's fellow workers." Think about that for a moment. We're God's fellow workers. And there's three things in verse 9 we really need to take to heart. But first, let's get this. We are God's fellow workers. Guys, think of all the ways God could have got His message out. But He chooses just ordinary folks like you and me. Folks who've been redeemed. Folks who've been saved. Think of all the things that He could have done. I mean, He's God. Just brief. Just get this. Let this. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His head." Literally, the expanse of heaven is the work of His hands. "Day unto night they utter speech. Day unto night that reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines gone out through the earth. Their words to the end of the earth. He has set them in the tabernacle for the sun." The Lord could have done anything, any way possible, He could have get this message out. But He chooses to use you and I. We're His fellow workers. What an incredible honor. You realize what an incredible honor it is to share the gospel. What an incredible gift it is to share the gospel. What an incredible gift it is to serve in a local church and a body of believers. And what do we do sometimes? Man, it's a gift. Paul never took that for granted. There was a time in Paul's life, and I think we need to understand that, he was just working. But when he got saved on Damascus Road, he understood some things. His eyes were open to the fact that, you know what? Wow. God's called me into partnership with him. We're fellow workers. That should bless us. That should blow us away. The Lord chooses to work through the body of Christ, the redeemed, those who have been saved. Romans 10:15, and shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We are so blessed. We are fellow workers. The God that created the universe, the God that created this planet, the God that created every individual in this room, the God that created our daughter who is in Margaret's fellow workers. Second, he wants you to understand. And understand, Paul's talking about himself and all these guys that they're trying to attach them. We're just fellow workers with God. But he wants these guys to understand something. You are God's field and you are God's building. We're God's field. What a benefit of being a field. Now what happens to a field in order for things to grow? What takes place? What has to happen? It has to be tilled up. Let me ask you a question. You feel like you've been a little tilled this week. You kind of bummed out about being a little tilled this week. Don't be bummed out. God's doing something awesome. In order for things for us to be as filled, we had to get tilled up. Maybe this week that's what we felt like. We've been tilled. But here's the blessing. The Lord is planting something wonderful in us. Think about that. How does new growth take place in a Christian? Unless there's not some kind of trial, unless there's not some type of situation, unless we're not being tilled to some extent. You remember the parable of the sower, right? We're not going to go into all that, but I want us to at least hear it. Luke 8:11 says, now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts. At least they should believe and be saved. But those on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for they believe for a while, and then time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, they go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones who fell on good ground are those who've heard the word with a noble good heart, keep it, bear fruit with patience. So man, when God's working, have you ever come to church with a hard heart? Thank you for not lying. Did you leave with a hard heart? Sometimes, sometimes not, right? Who wants to be in a position to receive a word from God? We all do. Man, we're His field. Let's let Him till this thing up a little. You know, it's very natural for us. The first sign of pain, what do? I don't like pain. I don't like pain at all. But the first sign of pain, the first sign of discomfort, what do? We look for comfort. Let's let Him do some tilling. Let's not gripe about it. Let's not bemoan. You know, let's say, all right, let's praise the Lord. And I found, you know what, when I really mean that, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Even though, you know what, it's kind of bumming me out a bit. I find that things become a heck of a lot clearer versus when I got my head looking down and just frustrated and ticked at the world. Okay? So we're His fellow workers. We're His field. And then Paul decides that, you know what, I'm going to move on to just using the picture of a building. You're God's building. What benefit is it being a building? Well, there's one benefit. Remember who the builder is. God, and He knows what He's doing, and He takes great care in what He is doing, and what He is building will last forever. Okay, when I was single 6 years ago or whatever, I literally kind of lived in a shack. Literally kind of. In other words, I'm single. okay, this is how bad it is when you're single and you don't really have a spouse or someone in the same residence as you. You don't really feel the need to fix things. At least I didn't. Okay? Now, I kept it clean because I'm kind of a neat freak. I really am a neat freak. I kind of like things organized. I don't like things moved. I got a little Rain Man-ish in me. But, okay? But when it came to actually fixing stuff, I mean, when I moved in, it was everything was in working order. But you know, I lived there 13 years. I had two bathrooms, and one of the toilets didn't work, and all it needed was just some guts. And I just never fixed it. The other toilet, the floater thing, you know, that the chain broke, and you know what? I stuck a screwdriver and wedged it up, and then when I used it, I took it out, you know, and then let it fill up. I mean, you see. You're laughing, but I didn't care. I just needed a place to take a shower, sleep, and leave. That's it. That's all I needed. Okay? Here's my point. It was a very temporary place. That's why stuff broke down, and I didn't care. Okay? God says we're His building, and what He's building is going to last forever. Eternity. When's the last time we really focused our hearts on eternity? When's the last time? I love Revelations 22, verse 1 through 5. And He showed me a pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves in the tree were the healing nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. They shall see. Get this. You shall see His face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There will be no night. There will be no need of lamp or light or sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. God's building lasts forever. Paul's perspective on ministry should be ours. He was working with God, which was working on God's people. They were His field and His building. Remember, Paul is pointing these guys simply back to Jesus. Now understand something. If we look at people as God's building and understand that that's His building, that's not my building. It's not like how I treated my trailer. Okay? I didn't care. I'm just going to sleep there. I'm going to eat there. And eventually I'm going to get married. And I know that my spouse is not going to want to live there. So why should I care anyway? Which was what happened. Okay? But when we get the perspective that, you know what, these folks sitting next to us, it's God's field. That this is not business as usual. This is His field, and this is His building, and this is His thing. It should change the way we look at each other. It should change the way we do ministry. It's not just something we're doing. I mean, this is God's thing. He's got such an eternal perspective on it. A few things to take to heart from Paul about God's building. Look at verse 10a. Number one thing, Paul so got it. He was not just about the big head of being God's fellow worker. He understood this. Being a wise and master builder, listen to what he says. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. Notice this. When he says he's a wise master builder, what did he attach before that? What did he say? According to the grace of God. The only reason that I rolled into Corinth and was able to plant this church is because of God's grace. And you remember Paul's very heart going into this thing. We found out in 1 Corinthians, he said what? I was with you with much fear and I was with you much trembling. I determined to just know one thing, Christ crucified. That was my game plan. He says, yeah, I'm a wise and master builder and I laid a foundation, but it was because of God's grace, His unmerited favor. It was not on Paul's own merit. Paul understood God does not choose exalted people to do His work. We think this is just a cute little Bible study. We really do. Okay, we think this is a cute little Bible study. You remember King David, right? Before he was king, he was what? He was a little shepherd guy, right? What happened? How did he end up becoming king? Samuel comes in. God says, hey, you're going to anoint a king. Go see Jesse. And then what happens? The brothers come out. He's like, oh, surely this is the guy. No, surely this is the guy. And then God says, whoa, stop. He says, you're looking at the outside, but what you don't understand, Samuel, is I look at the heart. We think that's a cute little Bible study, but understand something. That's the way God does His work. Not through exalted people. Sometimes, we're going to see something here as this thing unfolds. Sometimes the most polished, God's probably not even really using. It'll be evaluated at the end. Paul got it. He says, according to the grace of God, which is His unmerited favor, which was given to me. Okay, I can't even claim this. It was a gift. As a wise master builder, I laid the foundation and another builds on it. Remember, Paul's like 3 years removed from this thing. Other people had come into the church, and now you have division. Because evidently, maybe those guys that came into the church didn't do such a good job of pointing these folks back to Jesus Christ. Number two, remember how Paul finished verse 10, but let each one take heed on how he builds. Look at this. But let each one take heed on how he builds. This is serious business. One of these days, you guys, okay, who has mortgages? Unfortunately, I have one. I don't really like it. But was that not one of the biggest financial investments of your life? When you signed your name on this thing, what did you do? Did you have someone come inspect it to make sure it was legit? There wasn't any problem. Why? Because you're signing on for a big fund. Would you pay a large sum of money for my trailer? No, you wouldn't have. Okay? You wouldn't have done that. But when you got ready to purchase a house, when you got ready to sign your name on the mortgage, you did some things, right? One of these guys, you guys are going to be out of school and you're going to get married and you're going to, you know, do a house and do the whole thing, okay? You're going to do the whole deal. It's a very important investment. But let me ask you this. At the end of the day, what's going to become of that thing? It's going to be gone. It's not going to last. Here's the point. We're God's fellow workers. It's God's field. It's His building. Paul's saying, take heed on how you're building. Take an estimate. Be careful. It's serious business. See verse 11, there's only one foundation, the Lord will place His building on, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the Jesus Christ that's found in the Bible. Okay? The Jesus Christ that's found in the Bible. Not some of this stuff that people are attaching Jesus. Who Jesus said He was. Or who He is. John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John Corson said this. The true church of Jesus Christ is not built upon, let's get together and make something happen politically. Or, okay, let's launch a moral crusade, or let's be sociably responsible. It's based upon Jesus Christ, our hero, our Savior, our friend, our coming King. Guys, it always boils down to Jesus Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but to babes as in Christ. Okay, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. It's about Jesus Christ crucified. That's what the church is founded on. That's the foundation. And Paul said, that's the only place I could ever build on. Verses 9 through 11, Paul, via the Holy Spirit, has been pointing to the Corinthians how truly blessed they are in Jesus. They are His co-workers, His field, His building. God sent a wise and master builder to you guys because of His grace, and there's only one foundation His church can be built upon, and that is Jesus Christ crucified. And Paul calls this milk. Think about that for a moment. Makes you wonder what meat is. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not. Look at verses 12 to 15. A wise and master builder by God's grace knows in the end his work will be inspected, and there's only one foundation the church can be set upon, and that's Jesus Christ. So no one can build on any other foundation, but we can build in an unworthy manner upon the foundation. And that's something to take heed to as well. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with, here's a materials list. When you're building something, who likes to build? You're engineers, most of you, so you must like to build. Okay? You got a materials list. I'm a machinist by vocation. Okay, so when I go to build something, I make it out of certain material, and I give them a blueprint, and that's how it's made. Stevens in manufacturing, Carl's in manufacturing. There's a building list that's in fire. Did you ever stop to think for just one moment? There's also a building list for whatever it is that God is building through us. Paul says, I'm a wise and master builder. I understand the building list. I understand what I'm to be building upon. The first set of materials, Paul seems to take from the materials maybe used in the temple. They were valuable materials. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, speaking of Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. There's two sets of these things. The first set's valuable. Gold and silver. We're not going to go into the meaning of each of those things. Okay, that's not what we're going to do today. But I will say this. The precious stones he's talking to is not necessarily talking about jewels, but granite and marble. Okay? They're valuable. The second group is, well, they're not that valuable. Wood, hay, and straw. See, guys, once we know Jesus is the Christ, and we're building on that foundation, what we use to build on that foundation will either be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Here's the point. Verse 13 through 15. Why is it important to know what we're building with? Because it's going to be tested with fire. That's the point. And we think, you know what? We think ministry's just, okay, I'm going to get up and just do my thing and just kind of, well, okay. No, that's not what it is. Do you realize that a lot of these ministries, and I'm not going to name any of them, but a lot of these ministries that look super big time, super whatever, that some of those things are just built with wood, hay, and straw? It looks pretty good. But is it really founded upon Jesus Christ? It's serious business. One day, what we've been using to build will be revealed by fire. Not eternal fire of damnation, but an evaluation of the believer's work. We're going to appear before the Bema Seat. Each one's work will become clear for what it really was in God's eyes. For the day, and speaking of the day that... Okay, here's the way it kind of plays out. I'm going to give you a brief rundown of this thing. It kind of depends on whether or not you believe the church is going to go through the tribulation. I personally don't believe that. Okay, and I'm going to state that up front. I believe we're going to get raptured out of here, and then we're going to have the tribulation. But during the tribulation period, we're going to be having this incredible party with Jesus. Okay, and during this incredible party with Jesus, guess what? We're going to appear before this Bema Seat that Paul, we're going to talk about briefly. But we're going to appear before Him, and during this time, gifts and rewards are going to be handed out. That's what Paul's getting at. That's what Paul's getting at. In other words, if it's all been wood, hay, and straw, it's going to be burned up. If it's been gold, silver, and precious stones, then those things are going to be refined in such an incredible manner. There's gifts, there's rewards to be handed out. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." It's serious. It's serious. And the older I get and the more that the Lord shows me in His Word, and the more that the Lord chooses to reveal certain things in me that need to change, it becomes more serious. Who wants to be a wise and master builder? We need to understand that it's God's field and it's His building, and whatever He asks us to do is because of His grace. There's no such thing as an all-star. Look at verse 14 and 15, good news and bad news about the day. Let's get to the good news first. If anyone's work, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Okay. Notice it didn't talk about how much. And that's kind of interesting if you think about it, because let's say you skate in and you're only saved 2 days, and those 2 days you were really about the Lord. Okay? He's not looking at the quality, he's looking at the sort. Or I mean the quantity. He's looking at the sort, he's looking at the quality of the thing. See, if we've been using the right materials, building on the right foundation, we'll receive reward. Good news. Here's the bad news. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Some folks think they're serving God, but they're using shoddy materials, and that's all they've ever used. What they will realize at the Bema Seat is they never really did anything for the Lord. They're saved. That is the good news. But they will not receive no crown to give to Jesus for His glory. And that's a bummer. John Corson put it this way, and I like how he put it. Everyone who understands that Jesus is the foundation of life will be saved. But some shall be saved by as fire, and they will make it into heaven. They will be warm when they see Jesus' face. If you read in Revelation chapter 1, it says Jesus' eyes are like this flame of fire or whatever. Now, when we think of this, I thought of it as being stuck in this big furnace and... Okay, but let's look at it differently. I think he describes it perfectly. They will be warm when they see Jesus' face. They will make it into heaven. They'll be warm when they see Jesus' face. But they will look around and say, oh no, everything I did on earth was vaporized before his eyes, and now I have no crown to cast at his feet. See Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Because God shall wipe away every tear in Revelation 7, verse 17. There will be no tears in heaven, for why will they be shed? Not for the bigger the house we wish we bought, or the nicer car, the fancier clothes we wish we'd worn, but for the opportunities we miss to lay up treasure in heaven. See, at the end of the day, it matters what materials we've been using to build. It matters. He's really trying to wake these guys up. You guys think you're just so intellectual and you think you're this and you think you're that, but I want you to understand something. Right now, what you are building upon, the foundation that I built upon, you're using wood, hay, and straw, and it's going to be burnt up. Get your heart right. Get focused back on what you need to be focused on. It's serious business. So what can we take to heart this morning? We're God's co-workers. We're His field. We're His building. There's only one foundation His building rests upon, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, there's two sets of materials to use to build. It can either be gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, or straw. In the end, it will be revealed for what it was. Now, that probably scared everybody in this room. Scared me, as I'm thinking about, you know, the ministry the Lord's called me to and the different things that I've been involved in for 17 years. I'm asking myself, okay, well, how much of this was wood and hay and straw, and how much was gold and this and that? Okay, it'll freak you out a little bit if you think about it. Okay? Listen to this. It just boils down to one thing. Guys, life is about Jesus. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. Revelation 22:12 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Here's the deal. Guys, if we keep it about Jesus, it will be about Jesus, and it'll be gold, silver, and precious stones. That's it. It's not complicated. If we would just seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind. If we'll just invest, guess what will happen? We won't have to be worried about, okay, am I throwing up this or am I throwing... It'll be of the Lord. Because the closer we get to God, the more time we spend with the Lord, what happens? We really start weighing our motivations, don't we? Lord, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for you? It's serious business, but we're seriously blessed. Okay? God's called us to be co-workers. We're His field, we're His building, we have a lot to celebrate. But let's look at these things sober-minded. We're going to celebrate communion. And this is a wonderful opportunity to just draw near to the Lord. To celebrate His body that was broken, His blood that was shed, and all that we've inherited through His sacrifice. Sacrifice.